The 71st Psalm this morning, if we could, please. Get myself set up here and we'll be good to go. Alrighty. Praise the Lord. Beginning in verse 1. I'm not sure if David wrote this psalm. Pretty sure he did, but if he did, I'll refer to it as David's psalm. But David said this in verse 1. He says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." Do you know if you put your trust in the Lord, you will never have to be put to confusion? There's a lot of confusion in this world today. Don't you agree with that? It just shows you there's not many people that have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God has given us spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Amen. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear unto me and save me. O be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. For thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and thou art my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked and out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Drop down to verse 16. "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of his righteousness, even thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is yet to come. For thy righteousness also, for God is very high, who has done great things, O God. Who is like unto thee? O thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, thou shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up from the depths of the earth, and thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." Hallelujah. "Thou which hast shown me great and sore troubles, thou shalt quicken me again." That word quicken means he's going to give me life again. He's going to breathe divine life into me, into you. "Thou which hast shown us great afflictions, great troubles, great problems and sorrows and heartaches, if you've sojourned long enough in this life. But God said, I'll breathe life into them again. I'll quicken them again, and I'll bring them up from the depths of the earth. And I won't stop there, but I'll increase them on every side. I'll increase their greatness. I will touch their life. I will do something wonderful for them." Amen. Hallelujah. This morning's message, we're going to kind of continue on last week's theme, but I'm going to call it this morning, "Thou shalt quicken me again." Say that to your neighbor. "He shall quicken me again." Amen. Hallelujah. It's not over until it's over. This is going to be our best year in the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're a card-carrying member of the Church of Jesus Christ, amen, God has greater things for you, things you don't even know about yet. Amen. Let's go before God in prayer. Father, again, in Jesus' name, we thank you for all those that have attended this morning's service. We thank you for the sweet spirit we have felt during our worship time. Lord, we're just asking you, Father, to continue the soft move of your Holy Spirit. Lord, touch us, quicken us, strengthen us this morning. Give life to your word. Touch the preacher, Lord, that he may speak as the oracles of God. And Lord, open the hearts of everyone in this house and live stream wherever this message goes. Be a blessing. Let them sense the Spirit of God and the Spirit of grace. Father, we thank you this morning. Bless the children's church. Give them power and authority, Lord, with the children. But Lord, give them their portion this morning in Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And everybody said amen and amen. You know what I always like to do, even Liz and I will sit usually at the end of every year and we'll kind of rehearse and go over what we felt the Lord has done in our lives, whether it be personal, whether it be in church, whether it be in business, financial, wherever it be. We try to rehearse over the year. And as I was meditating a little bit about on our conversation, what we had discussed and the various things that we felt the Lord has done for us this year, I really began looking over my whole life in Jesus Christ. I've been saved now since the fall of 1984. That puts me at about 32 years of a brand new life in Jesus, amen? So by rights, I'm 32 years old, even though this earth suit is about 56 years old, amen? But you have your story. You have the amount of years you've walked with Jesus. And the good news is evidently you're still walking with him. He has kept you. You're still here today, amen? You're not back on the bar stool. You're not in a bed of sin and fornication. You are here in the house of God, hungry for the word of God, amen? So it tells me that Jesus Christ has begun a good work in your heart and in your life. And as the potter, he has fashioned you and formed you, and he's still doing that good work that he began in you the moment you believed upon him for your salvation, amen? Thank God for our Savior. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God that he loved us and died for us and gave himself for us. Thank God for his word, and thank God that he's not finished with the good work he began in us. But as I was reflecting a little bit over my life in Christ, my sojourn with the Son of God, there is a poem that became a song here not too long ago, but it's one of my favorite, how can I say, I feel it's a summary of my personal life. The poem goes like this: I can see far down the mountain where I have wandered these so many years. I've often been hindered in my journey, oh, by the ghosts of doubts and my own fears. Oh, there's been broken vows and disappointments. If you look at my life, they've been strewn thickly along the way. But I can say one thing: the Spirit of God has led unerring to this land that I hold today. Hallelujah. We have gained something in the Lord. Maybe it's been an up and down battle. Maybe it's been a difficult journey. But if you are truly in Christ, then God has blessed you. He has increased your life. He has begun a good work in your heart and in your life, and he is still in the middle of performing that good thing he began in you the moment you believed. Amen? I thank God that he saved me, that my name is written in heaven's book of life. I thank him for the blood and for the cross and for the victory provided in the Son of God. I love Jesus Christ this morning, and I'm not ashamed of him or his gospel. Thank God for the blood. Thank God I'm born again. Thank God I've received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Thank God I love his word. Thank God he still lives within my heart and within my life. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, as I ponder life a little bit, I realize what I got, maybe another good 30 years or so, maybe 40. If I live to be as old as my grandmother, another 45 or so, 50 maybe, you know. But I tell you what, I'm just thankful for life. But I realized the closer we get to the return of the Lord, and as we climb that ladder of age, I don't got as many years left as I had in the beginning, amen. And I've been really concerned that I make the right decisions and that I go the right way with the little bit of time I have left. Amen. I don't want to botch it up. I don't want to get out of his will. I want to walk softly before the Lord, that I have his best, that I can receive a double portion in him. Amen. That I have a glorious latter end, even like Job. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, it's not over till it's over. But you need to expect great things from God. You need to believe upon him. Amen. I got up this morning and I was feeling a little heavy in my spirit. And sometimes you just, if you go by feelings, you just feel that way once in a while. You don't know why. I knew what I was going to share this morning, what I felt the Lord had given me to preach. But you know, I was feeling that little bit of cloud of heaviness. You know, and so my normal routine is when I feel that cloud, I thought, let's just get away and let's just, you know, get out into the other, my shed there, and I'll cry out to God, talk to him. But I felt in my spirit, I thought, no, wait a minute. Just believe. And I told myself, just believe this morning. Just believe this morning. Amen? And I thought, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I just believe in you today. I'm just believing all is well between me and Jesus Christ. I'm just believing this morning that it's going to be a good day, and it's going to be a good day in the house of God. I'm believing this morning, hallelujah, in your truth that makes me free, amen. I don't have to earn anything. I don't have to pump it up. I don't have to make things happen. If I just believe and rest in who I am in Jesus Christ, my friend, if you will just believe, that's all you have to do. Believe on what has been done, what has been already provided. You don't have to pump it up. You don't have to work it up. up. You don't have to go on a 70-day fast. Just believe Jesus Christ. Right now, you got a perfect righteousness. God loves you. Hallelujah. And if he didn't, he would have kicked you to the moon way back when already. Amen. But he's not done that, has he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can see far down that mountain. Oh, where I've journeyed these many years. I was often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears. Oh, there's been broken vows and disappointments thickly strewn along the way. But the Spirit of God has led us unerring to the land we hold today. Amen. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for what God has done here in Promised Land. This vision began how many years ago? I believe in late 1980 as God got me up one morning. And we had started a church in Ripon. And I asked, Lord, I don't know what to name this church. And God spoke to my heart. I remember the scene in my living room as I had lived in that little mobile home out in the woods. And I got on my knees and I began to seek God. Lord, what do we do with this? What do we call this church? And God spoke to my heart and he said, call it Promised Land. Call it Promised Land. And at that time, it was Promised Land of Ripon. But it seemed as the years went on, we saw some great things happen, but things began to crumble in my personal life. And I saw God take me out of the ministry for a season. But I swung by House of Prayer and I picked up Liz, amen, and the boys. They got on the bus, amen. And within 2 years of marriage, hallelujah, God is putting us back into the ministry, amen. And God kept dealing with me about autonomy. I want you to be autonomous before me. And I don't know what to do. The organization we were connected with didn't like it. But we had to make a decision, amen. Over the span of 3 years, we said, we got to be autonomous. And we took that step. And when we went to the warehouse over on 26 over here, God said, call it Promised Land, amen. Hallelujah. Because God had given me Promised Land would live again. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to Jesus. I'm telling you something. You're part of something bigger than what you think. Amen. I know we've not arrived in many facets and many areas, but God isn't done with us. We're still on the potter's wheel. God is still working in us, developing us. He's making us. It's his church. It's not my church. It's his. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what he began, he will perform. Hallelujah. I've never enjoyed ministry so much because it's his work. I don't have to make anything happen. Amen. We can just be ourselves. We can rest. We can enjoy the journey. There's nothing to prove. But we have one message, and it's around the Savior Jesus Christ. It's him. Hallelujah. It's him who we love, and it's his cross that we embrace. Hallelujah. Thank God. It shall be called Promised Land, for Promised Land will live again. Hallelujah. It shows you the work of God is eternal. And it's not hinged, whether we're naughty or nice. But if we find peace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, flaws and all, idiosyncrasies and all, ups and downs and all, God will continue his work. All he asks of us is to keep believing. Hallelujah. Keep believing. Keep believing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. There's a scripture that says through Joshua, as the Israelites, as he was growing older and he was growing up there in years, and he said, there yet remaineth very much land to be possessed. And he was telling the Israelites, as Joshua was trying to bring the Israelites into their inheritance that God had prepared for them before the foundation of the world. And as they were, in fact, in one place you're going to read where Joshua says, why are you so slack to possess the land? I have given you an open book, an open door. Every family in Israel was given a plot of land. Now go possess that land that God has given to you. Amen? And work the field. Build something out of your life with the truth that God has given you that little plot of ground. You know, that's the picture story in the cross. Every one of us has had a provision given to us through Jesus Christ. When he hung on that tree, and when he said it is finished, and when he shed his perfect righteous blood, there was an inheritance given to whosoever will come to him by faith. Amen? And if you surrender your heart and your life to the Lordship, I didn't say of some generic God, I didn't say of some spirit out there, but I said the Lordship of the Son of God, the one who was raised from the dead, the one who was, hallelujah, who was slowed on the tree for your sin and raised for your justification. There's a piece of ground in Christ for you. Every one of us. Every one of us. Oh, there will be ups and downs, there will be valleys and hills, there will be mountains highs and valleys low. But I'm here to say God has a good thing prepared for you. In fact, to the point where he says it's not even entered yet into your heart, the good things God has prepared for you because you love him. Amen? Hallelujah. But how do I receive it? What do I do, Pastor? You got to keep believing every day. That's why we preach the cross, preach the blood, put your faith in Jesus, put your faith in the Son of God. Don't let it move to the left or to the right. You'll find a perfect sanctification, a perfect justification, and the Holy Spirit will move in your heart and your life by His mighty grace. Hallelujah. That's why Paul will tell Timothy, Timothy, be thou strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are preachers telling us that today? They need to be. They need to be. We're teaching churches today, be strong in yourself. Amen. Try the next fad that comes into the church. Embrace this, embrace that. We're saying, be strong in the grace that's in Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's no man that has any power outside of God unless he's anointed by a false spirit. Amen. And every false religion, every false way is empowered by a demon entity that gives it validity in its hearers. But I'm here to say there's a truth from the foundation of the world. Last week we preached a message called the faith, the hope, and the love. And this thing called the faith was all designed by the Godhead prior to the foundation of the world. God, knowing He would create man as a free will moral agent, man would fail the test, man would go into transgression, but God knew that if He created man in His image, God was going to make a way that man could be redeemed from the curse, that man could be redeemed from his sin, that the guilty can be made innocent as the innocent one would sacrifice his life's perfect precious blood on his behalf. And I'm here to say, hallelujah, that work was accomplished 2,000 years ago on Calvary's Hill. Hallelujah. Oh, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It's an emblem of suffering and shame, but I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Hallelujah. This thing called the faith, it was in the mind of God before God even created man. You know, it breaks my heart today when you see people will shake their fist. Isaiah said they would curse their God and look upward. People today blaming God for all the ills of this world. Man has made it this way. Man opened that door in the Garden of Eden. We're all the offspring of Adam's lost race. But God loved this world. He loved you. He loved me when I was polluted in my blood. God loved me and He loved you. He sent Jesus Christ. That even though you and I are scoundrels and undeserving of the mercies of God, that all have sinned and come short of God's intended glory. Amen. But if we believe on the one, hallelujah, who makes up this thing called the faith, thank God for the faith. He's made it easy. He's made it simple. Amen. You don't have to jump through the hoops. You don't have to be affiliated with a church body per se. You don't have to have a certificate on your wall. All you need is faith in the Savior. All you had to do is at one time He drew you by His Spirit. You heard the Word of God. You believed in your heart upon Him and He entered into your heart. Now you're born again. You've been birthed by God. You're saved. You've been delivered. You've been made free. Hallelujah. A good work was begun in your heart and life. Your life is changed by the power of God. Because you believe the truth. Amen. And I realized that in my sojourn, how that when I got my eyes off that finished work and I left that simplicity of the faith and being taught by You Want Ministry, then I was being taught by all the things I had to do to attain ministry. To attain it. Amen. To find that holy grail called ministry. And that search almost destroyed my life. It almost wrecked my faith in Jesus Christ. But thank God, He broke through. Thank God there was enough foundation in the beginning. Thank God He brought us back to the centrality of what this is all about. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you. It's where the blood was shed. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, last week we talked about this thing called the faith. Let me just show you this quick. We had talked a little bit about this, but let's not pass by it too quickly here this morning. This thing called the faith was God's provision of redemption and grace to Adam's fallen race. It began before the world began, and we saw the mechanics of it when Adam was clothed with skins of animals. We saw it was in the mind of God that God would clothe man in his fallen condition. God would provide man's righteousness. God would provide man's covering. Amen? Today, when a preacher says, "Who's your covering, brother?" you better say, "The blood of Jesus Christ." Who's your covering, preacher? And if he says some name and gives you a business card that says apostle, whatever, hoot and doodle, I'm here to say that man does not understand. He's not covered by the righteousness of Jesus. He's covering himself by the fallen righteousness of a man who needs the blood himself. Isaiah 30, woe to those that cover with a covering and not of my spirit. What's your covering, Pastor Jeff? The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Who's your covering, Pastor? Well, who are you accountable to? The body of Christ. Amen. Accountable to God and to you. Amen. Well, don't you have a preacher over you, brother? No, I used to. Almost killed me. You don't need a fallen man to watch over your life. Who needs the blood of Jesus Christ Himself? When you have the blood of Christ and you're subjected to the will of God and you're under the truth of God, you are covered by His Holy Spirit, covered by His blood, and if you act up, the body of Christ will deal with you. Amen? Listen, if I'm off of my doctrine, if I'm being unfaithful to my spouse, if I'm being living a double life, I'm here to say it's going to show up in that pulpit. You're going to know something's wrong, amen? Because God will send judgment first to the house of God. And it begins in the pulpit. Listen, I'm here to say there's so much false teaching out there. Listen, I believe in being subjected to ministry when you're in that house. But that subjection to that ministry is only when I'm in that house. When I leave those doors, I belong to God. Amen? And it's no preacher's business. Amen. My private life. And if my private life is off, I ain't going to be in the pulpit too long. Because God don't put up with sin in the church. And He don't put up with sin in His preachers. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm here to say the body of Christ has it all messed up. But when we are subjected to Jesus Christ, it will be evident. And we're subjected one to another. Amen? Amen. That means every preacher should be approachable. Don't touch God's anointed. Well, if I read the scripture, the body of Christ is His anointed too. I understand ministry needs to be reverenced and respected. But I'm not here preaching ministry. I'm here preaching Jesus Christ. I'm trying to work myself out of a job. Amen. I get you by faith connected into the Son of God. He's going to empower you. You're going to start experiencing His grace and His goodness. Amen. And guess what's going to happen? You and Jesus are getting a good thing going. Amen. And all's going to be all right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God clothed Adam. The faith. Abel responded to it by offering up the little sheep. Cain rebelled against it by offering up the work of his hands like most people are doing today. It was rediscovered by Enoch when he began the walk with God after 365 years of life. It was relied upon by Noah to the saving of his house. It was believed upon by Abraham for justification of faith. The faith was obeyed by Israel. They were delivered through the Passover lamb on the Passover night, and they were brought through the Red Sea, and God was had them clearly on the way to their inheritance. Amen. The faith. All those miracles of Egypt couldn't deliver one Israelite. Slay the little Passover lamb which represented Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. When men put their faith on that, they put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. That's a type of being in Christ. If you're in the house, you're in him. That message in the faith has not changed to this very hour. In 2016, on January 3rd, you still have to be in the house, in Christ, in him where the blood was shed. Amen. And if you abide in him, in the blood, hallelujah. Almost 200 times Paul alludes to in him, in the beloved, in Christ, in his blood, in the finished work. He talked about it constantly. Amen. Hallelujah. And if we look at the faith, we go a little farther, and all of a sudden God tells Moses, come up on a mountain, be there with me. And God gives him the pattern of the tabernacle. And then as we keep reading through that Exodus letter, they offer up a lamb once a year in that little holy place, and where that blood was put, God starts talking and he says, this is where I will commune with you. This is where I will speak with you. That has not changed. People say, I can't hear from God. Why can't I hear? I got to get a word. No, you can hear from God, but are you in the blood? Is the blood precious to you? That's where God will commune with your heart. That's where the Word of God comes alive. That's where you and I will be quickened again and be raised up from the depths of the earth, is when we're back in the blood by faith. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Oh, Pastor, you strip our self-importance. You strip our esteem down to nothing. Hallelujah. The church's problem isn't lack of esteem. People's problem is too much esteem. They're too self-focused. It's all about me. It's my name in bright lights. It's what I can do. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. The song this morning, no, it's about the potter. It's about the one who can mold you and mold me into his image, into his will. Amen. Do you realize one of the greatest travesties, one of the greatest sins in the church is we break the second commandment? We're always trying to fashion God into our image. Amen. We're always trying to make God convenient for us. That's why we got 3 zillion Bible translations, always trying to remake the Godhead into that what we want it to be so it's comfortable for us. I've said it 100 times, but when I argue with the book, I'm wrong. We must preach Jesus, and it's got to be clear. And when the body of Christ leaves the house of God, it wasn't, man, what a preacher. It should be, what a Savior. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to fall in love with Jesus Christ again. We need a love affair with the one who bought us and loved us and died for us and gave himself for us. It's all about him. It's all about him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The faith. God said, I'll talk to you where that blood is shed. That's a type of the believer today obeying the message of what Paul taught when he said, we preach nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified for you. Where did Paul get that revelation? Out of the Old Testament. As God brought it to his understanding. Paul would read from Genesis to Pentateuch, read those first 5 books, and he would go through those and he would see this blood, the Passover lamb, Israel came out and all those miracles, nothing happened until that blood was shed. God clothed Adam and Eve in skins. Abel offered that little firstling. Wow, there's that blood. That man, Jesus, John said, was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Again, the blood. Wow. It's all in the blood. It's all in what he did. He was that lamb from the foundation of the world. I see it in Exodus, I see it in Genesis, I see it in Leviticus, I see it in Deuteronomy. There it is. It's the cross. It's the cross. Amen. That's where our victory is. That's where the power of God is. That's why my Romans 7 experience, I can't get victory over flesh areas of my life. I got to put my faith and believe in what He did, what He provided on a daily basis. It's called the cross. I will glory in the cross, Paul said. Today we're taught to glory in men. Paul said, when you do that, you're not wise. We glory in our talents. We glory in our abilities. We can even glory in our buildings if we're not careful. We glory in one another. But Paul said it this way, if any man's going to glory in anything, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. What I loved about the message of the cross is it stripped my works righteousness. It pulled that rug out from under me. And I realize that anything that gets done for God, it's got to be as He quickens us. It's got to be as He prompts us. It's got to be as He is leading us by His Spirit. Amen? He will lead you. He has led you. He is guiding you. He will continue to guide you. But your faith must be in Jesus Christ and His shed blood. What was won there on Calvary's tree must be a revelation in your heart and spirit. And as I rest in that, if I just believe, He's going to take care of everything that pertains unto me. Hallelujah. This thing called the faith. We could go on with it then. That faith in the faith produces a hope. A hope. You know, I have hope this morning. A preacher a while back said, you can live 40 days without food, 4 or 5 days without water, but you can't live 10 seconds without hope. You need hope. You see, the faith produces what's called the hope. Man outside of the faith is hopelessly doomed. Hope is an expectation. It's an expectation of a divine intervention, a divine redemption, or a divine rescue. Hope is what I rely upon when life is not going the way I'd like it to be going. When circumstances have flipped themselves upside down in my life and it looks like the ship is about to sink. Hope. Because of faith in the crucified, gives me the expectation that no matter how dark the night, no matter how much I may have cried myself to sleep, it tells me one day He will quicken me again. And He's going to raise me up from the depths of the earth. This saying may kill me spiritually speaking, but maybe that's what it's going to take. But He will raise me from the dead. He will raise me again from this place I was. Amen. He will lift me up into a better situation. I'm here to say, hope is what we all need, and the faith will produce the hope. If I'm in the cross, if I'm in the crucified, if I'm trusting in that blood, then no matter how dark the night, no matter how much weeping, no matter how much adverse circumstances, and it seems like my way, I can't see where tomorrow is going to be. I have hope because I have an expectation that God ain't going to leave me in this condition forever. Amen. That He will come one day and intervene by His divine presence and spirit and change or deliver my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Rogers back here. He's got some troubles. He needs a miracle in his heart. Even though that physical heart is giving him trouble, his spiritual heart is alive and well. But do you realize this? We have a sister here this morning that is battling some cancer. We got Mary Davis that's back into the hospital. I understand Moo's giving me that this morning. But there's an expectancy. It's not over till it's over. Amen. God can come down. He can squeeze that heart. God can touch that cancer. Amen. We found out a couple months ago our dog, 6 years old, full of life, is full of cancer. So what do? I took it to the Lord. And every day I pet her and I feel those little tumor bumps. I pray over them. God, shrink these things. Lord, I take authority over this cancer because while there is still life and breath, there is still hope. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, it may be the midnight hour, but God will come through just in time. Amen. Amen. Never give up. Never stop believing because it's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank God for the faith and for the hope. Which takes me into this thing called the love. I had to close the service out last week. It was getting long, a little longer than I wanted it to be. But I want to tell you about the love of God. There's not a person within the sound of my voice. You've had things in your heart. You've had problems. There's been things, circumstances. You've not been the most faithful believer on the face of the earth to Jesus Christ. But can I give you the truth? None of that takes away from His love for you. He loves you just the same. He loves you just the same. And His call to you would just be, believe on me. Trust me. And I'll even give you a heart that desires me. If you'll just in your heart acknowledge me. Hallelujah. Can you acknowledge Him this morning? It's the love of God that designed this thing called the faith before the world began. And the hope I have is rooted in the love that God has for me and for my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. But let's take it a step further. The love reaches the sinner man, the sinner woman, who's in the depths of sin. Jesus died for them. And Jesus wants to save him. God would have all come to the knowledge of the truth. And can I tell you another thing? This is how beautiful sanctification is. Even if my children aren't serving God and my grandchildren aren't serving God, and this is a scenario, I'm just saying maybe the shoe fits for you. Because of my faith in Jesus and Him crucified for me, the Bible says God would sanctify that which pertains to me. He would sanctify my household. That means by the grace of God, God works overtime in those ones that I love more than life. And God has promised I will keep working and I will keep drawing and I will keep attempting to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This thing called the faith and the hope and the love. Amen. It shows you that God never gives up and God never quits on you. Well, what if I sinned away my day of grace? The only way you sin away a day of grace is when you in your heart say, I will not believe on Jesus Christ. I could care less about Him. I don't want the things of God. I'm an atheist at heart. I've turned my heart from Him. I could care less about God. But at that point, I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit, who is the agent of God, who tries to bring to me the truth of the gospel. You can't get saved without the inward quickening of the Holy Spirit. And the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit isn't because you questioned some miracles maybe, and maybe you just weren't sure if that was a move of the Spirit, so you spoke against it, and now Satan beats you up with that, saying, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You're lost forever. No, that means somebody who is so rooted into what they're believing, they will never put faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified for them. At that point, that man is a reprobate, that woman is a reprobate, and there's no hope of salvation for them because they have spurned the dealings of the Holy Spirit, and God can't reach them no more. It's the type of Pharaoh hardening up his heart. He was soft for a while, even though he would go back and forth. But he hardened up to the point where God said, okay, it's over. Amen. He's going to quicken us again. He's going to bring us up to the depths of the earth. What do I got to do, Pastor? You must put your faith in the faith. There's only one, the faith. That's Jesus Christ and His shed blood for you, what He won on the tree. Put your faith and believe upon what He has done for you. And that will produce a hope that no matter what I'm going through, I know my God is able to deliver and make free.
Hallelujah.
And it overwhelms me with the great love of God. The great love of God. Musicians, please. The great love of God. He did it because he loved me. You sit in some churches, under some ministries, they'll teach you that you got to earn God's love. You got to be good enough before God will actually give you the time of day. If that would have been the case, I never would have got off that bar stool that night, because love drew me in a drunken condition in the fall of 1984. It drew me off that bar stool. And it brought me into a little bedroom where I was falling asleep that night. But God convicted me of my sin and made it very clear he loved me. And I believed on Jesus Christ that night. And I woke up the next morning. I had a new heart and a new spirit. I'll tell you, I was a brand new man in Jesus Christ. Because he loved me. And he drew me by his spirit. Hallelujah. Let's stand in the house this morning. In that psalm, David said, when I'm old and gray-headed, Lord, don't depart from me. Don't cast me off. And David, you even realize one day, should I go to the grave, there's going to be a resurrection. One day he's going to quicken me again. Yes, one day if we go to the grave, we'll be quickened. We'll be reunited with our spirit in a glorified body. But I'm here to say, in the cross and in the faith, Jesus Christ is continuously, every day, quickening you. Paul said in Romans 8 that he would quicken by his spirit our mortal bodies. That means he will give strength to my body. That means he will heal my body until my time is that he calls me home. I'm going to ask the eldership, if you would come, please. Eldership. Those that normally help pray, let's. Some of you need a miracle. Some of you need healing. Some of you need a relationship problem. It could be a marriage. It could be a relationship with a loved one. It could be a work relationship between employees. But you need the Lord to touch you and to give you wisdom and hope. I'm asking you to come forward this morning. If you need healing, if you need God to touch you, maybe you need a financial breakthrough. Maybe you need a greater faith. Maybe you've not been as close to Jesus as you know you should be. Let's come and ask the elders to pray with you. Let's agree in prayer. Maybe you got an unspoken request. That's okay. Just come, bring your burden to the Lord. And let's pray this morning. And let's believe God. Let's come to this altar. Maybe you're waiting for a miracle. Maybe you're waiting on God for something. Maybe the promise that God gave you seems to be a million miles away and you're discouraged and you just need some encouragement. I'm going to ask us, let's come to this altar this morning. Whether you come to the altar, pray with somebody, let's come this morning. Let him draw you. The one who loves you, the one who died for you, let him woo your heart to him. Let's come this morning and let's believe. Let's sing a song. Prayer this morning, let's come to this altar. I feel the sweet spirit of God's grace in this house. Whatever you need, just lift it up before him. Commune in your heart with him. Come on, let's come to this altar. Let's come. I know there's more in this house. You need God to touch you. There's a loved one in your life that desperately needs the Lord to bless them. Let's come. Let's believe. Let's believe this morning. He'll quicken us again. He'll bring us up from the depths of the earth. He'll increase our greatness. He'll comfort us on every side. Because he's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Let's come, let's come, let's come. Let's believe on Jesus, the one who died for us. Let's believe this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody else?
Where your blood was
anybody else?
Me, there's no greater
anybody else?
Love than this.
Hallelujah.
Your glory.